What's up, guys? It's April 26. I'm joined by the legend Brian Snow on the other line. Going to do a quick recruiting recap after the second evaluation weekend of the spring and the final one until July. Coaches won't be out again until July hits and AAU is back in swing during the summer. So we wanted to kind of give you a feel for where things stand. We're going to go through these guys positionally and just update kind of the hierarchy of the guys Xavier's looking at right now. And Snow, let's start with the point guard, combo guard position. We talked about this on the message board a little bit before spring hit, that when you think about, obviously, Larry Austin is now transferred out. You're going to be losing Miles Davis after this season. And then there's a decent chance, I mean, the staff at least has to be prepared for the possibility that Edmund Sumner turns pro after this year. So combo guard, point guard, the fact that they already have Quentin Gooden, a 6'4", big athletic guy who can run the point, makes it so that they don't have to necessarily get a true point guard. They could go with another big combo and just stay versatile. But I think it has definitely become more of a priority in this class. So who would you have as the top guys that they're looking at right now at the combo point guard position?
I would say there's a top three right now. Paul Scruggs, Quade Green, and Markel Johnson, I think, have emerged as the top three at this particular slot. And I think Paul Scruggs is probably the guy that they're really zeroing in on the most. Scruggs is, you know, he's a 6'3 kind of pit bull from Indianapolis. He's not really a point guard, but he's not really a two guard. He's that prototypical combo guard. And I know that sounds stupid to call that a prototype, but the game has changed and that position is there more often than not. Xavier saw him a lot this weekend. There's talk that he could come down as soon as this upcoming weekend. I'm not sure that that's going to happen or not. But I think Paul Scruggs is the guy there. But they love Quade Green. But he's probably leaning to Syracuse, and he's visiting Syracuse this weekend. Then Markel Johnson, and the interesting thing with Markel is he could go 16. I expect him to go 17, but he could go 16. Xavier just offered. They would take him in either class. They have the room. So he's a freak athlete. He doesn't really know what he's doing on a basketball court, but he can kind of make shots. He's a freak athlete. He plays hard. So that there is a lot to like with Markel Johnson as well.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned, well, actually, I was driving into Indianapolis on Friday evening, and you were doing a radio interview on one of the stations I was listening to, and they asked you about Paul Scruggs, and you said one of his best skills is playing hard, which, you know, is a skill, and that's my favorite part about him is he's just tough. He's balls to the wall 100% of the time. That's how he played this weekend. I caught him early on Saturday, and he played just as hard in the morning game on Saturday as he does, you know, in the afternoon on or evening on Friday. I love that about his game, how just active and tough he is. Quade, really good as well. He had 14 assists in the first game I watched him on Friday night, and I think 11 assists in the next game that I watched him on Saturday. Can really pass the ball. He can make shots. Fun to watch. And then, like you said, Markel Johnson, just his athleticism is game-changing. He can get past guys and is always looking to rise up and dunk on people's heads. Just extraordinary athleticism. But he doesn't have a lot of game yet. Any other guys at that position that you see them kind of interest? Obviously, there's several other guys, but who are the other ones that you think are kind of right there behind that top three?
One to watch would really be David Beatty. As of 4:24 p.m. on Tuesday, as we're recording this, he does not have an offer. This is a 6'2 kind of combo from the Philadelphia area. Loved him during the high school season. Loved him again this weekend. I think David Beatty could be in line for an offer. And then McKinley Wright, who they liked last weekend, they gave him an offer. I'm not sure that they're pushing hard for a commitment, but I would say those two kind of round out the top five.
Yeah, and I would definitely throw in one name just to kind of keep an eye on as a backup, that name that kind of has a lot of connections, and I just don't know. He doesn't have near as much exposure. He doesn't play on a sponsored AAU team, so he's off-site at these big events. Tavion Hollingsworth, kid from Kentucky, can really score. He's a decent shooter from the outside, and a guy that I think the coaching staff likes but is yet to offer. Just a name to watch. You know, if some of these top options start falling through, he could be a guy. I definitely see them getting in and picking up the pace a little bit late in the process. let's move to the wing here, looking at there's a lot of – well, let me ask you about one guy here to start, because I would have him more in the combo guard position, in my opinion, but I get why you have him as a wing. Nojel Eastern, what are your thoughts? How do you see him playing in college? He's 6'6", like 190 pounds. Where do you think he plays in college?
Yeah, see, I just think once he gets into a college weight program, he's going to weigh 220 pounds. And it's just tough to stay at the point guard type position. He's just such a big kid. I see him ending up on as a playmaking wing. But I love his game. He can shoot it. He's smart. He's a good, not great athlete. He keeps growing. He's a big, just naturally big dude. So I think he's someone to like a lot. And Xavier's obviously watching him quite a bit.
Yeah, and he obviously right now thinks he's a point guard. And on his AAU team, he doesn't play it a lot because there's a couple other point guards. And as you mentioned, he's 6'6", legitimately, like, similar to Sumner, but his body is about two or three times as wide as Sumner's was at that same age. So completely different body type. But obviously, he told me, you know, when I talked to him about Xavier, that or what the staff had talked to him when they visited with him this past week, was they had told him about Edmund Sumner, and he really liked Edmund Sumner's game and stuff like that. So you're probably going to hear that brought up with him. In fact, I'll write something about it. But it's you know, keep in mind that he is a much bigger, thicker kid, as Snow brought up. So other guys on this wing, who would you see as the top targets in addition to Nojel Eastern?
Again, I think there's three guys: Brandon Randolph, Chris Wilkes, and Najee Marshall. I think if there's a guy, like, perfect world guy for them, it would be Brandon Randolph, but that one's getting really crowded. You know, they went up and visited him, I guess, what was it, last week?
Yeah.
And, it, you know, it was a productive visit. They were one of the first schools to offer. They were at every one of his games. But, you know, Kansas is offered. I guess Oregon just offered. Villanova's offered. Like, the whole free world's coming in. So that one's going to be tough. But he's kind of the shooter with athleticism that they need. Then the two names, Chris Wilkes, Najee Marshall. Najee Marshall, I got a call last night. Someone close to Najee that implied to me, in no uncertain terms, that Xavier's the leader. Rick, we both saw him this weekend. Kid from Washington, D.C., love him. He can play, depending on who's around him, and he can play 1 through 4. He just does so much. It's really – he's an intriguing player, and he's improving. And then Chris Wilkes, the 5-star prospect from Indianapolis. You know, Chris could commit to Akron tomorrow, and I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Or he could wait around until this time next year, and I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Chris is just a different dude. I don't know what's going to go on there, but Xavier's most certainly involved. You know, Indiana's in there. Michigan State's starting to get in there. Ohio State a little bit. It's kind of an interesting recruitment because Chris and his dad, they kind of do their own deal. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, getting Chris down to campus here May or June will probably tell a lot if they can make that happen.
I saw you mention on the message board about Najee Marshall being you know, like a 1 through 4 potentially, just being that versatile. I love that you mentioned that because this was my first time seeing him was this weekend, and that was the one thing that really stood out to me was his handle. One, he can defend multiple positions, which is what you need to do to play multiple positions, obviously. But his handle, too, is good enough that I could see, you know, at the college level, it being a matchup situation where if you don't have a great, you know, go-to point guard, you kind of have more big, versatile guards like Xavier could go with if they get Quentin Gooden and then one of these other, you know, bigger combo like a Paul Scruggs, then maybe Najee Marshall, if he's got, you know, kind of a bigger wing on him or something, or a guy who's not as fleet of foot, he's bringing the ball up for you sometimes or playing with the ball in his hands a lot. The way he handles it well enough, but the way he uses his body and his athleticism once he starts driving to draw contact and finish was really impressive. I really liked that about his game, and I agree. I could see him playing multiple spots, and he kind of lends himself to that whole, you know, I've been talking about Xavier kind of going the Villanova route with their personnel, just getting big, skilled guys that don't necessarily have a position. We started to see him go that way. I think he would really continue that, moving that in the right direction if they continue to want those types of players. And I agree with you that he's one of their top guys. It seems like the staff is all in on him, especially after this weekend. The other guy, Brandon Randolph, I haven't seen a lot of him before this weekend, and he's every bit the part. I mean, he can really stroke it, but he's also athletic. I don't think his athleticism has been talked about as much because people keep talking about how great of a shooter he is right now, one of the better shooters in EYBL. But his athleticism in transition is pretty special, too. He can go up and play above the rim, so he's definitely fun to watch. Snow, one of the guys I'm interested to get your opinion on is Greg Elliott from the family. Does not have a Xavier offer yet. I think he's in that next tier of guys that is getting some interest from Xavier right now. What are your thoughts on Greg Elliott?
Yeah, I liked him. It was my first time seeing him this weekend. He's probably about, what, like about 6'3", just kind of long. And the ball, he's just one of those kids, the ball always seems to find his hands. You know, like, whether it's exactly. A rebound, a steal, or something like, you know, like the ball just always seems to end up in his hands. So such a high motor kid, a really good athlete.
I think he kind of reminds me of like a Dante Jackson, but maybe with a little more upside. You know, I mean, just plays really hard. The ball always finds him. He seems like a really good teammate on the court. I'm a little concerned by the fact that he's not like a really good shot maker, and he's not necessarily like, I don't know that he's a break you down, get by really good defenders off the dribble, but, you know, not everybody has to be that. He might just be that proverbial glue type of guy that makes plays everywhere. And also, I think he has some upside as a penetrator, and he's not a terrible shooter either. He's just kind of decent at everything.
Yeah.
But I think when a lot of times when the staff looks at, like, getting a two guard, they want that guy that can either really make shots or can really make plays off the bounce on the offensive end, or at least that's what it seems like they've gone for recently. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. Any other wings to keep an eye on?
You know, one I think could get an offer soon be Elias Harden out of Georgia. Now, that one's going to be a tough one. The whole SEC is starting to come in there. Maryland just offered. But I think Xavier's really interested in him, really liked him the last 2 weekends. It wouldn't shock me if an offer came. And then again, you know, you could see how interested he really was if he comes up in May or June for a visit.
All right, let's look at some forwards, and this gets kind of murky here because we've got some guys that are kind of maybe think they're threes or fours combo type guys, so we'll talk about them as well here. Who are the top guys at this spot that you see?
You know, right now I think the clear top guy is Kamani Lawrence, kid out of somewhere in New England. I don't know which state it is. But, you know, he's about 6'7", probably 220, 215, and he's just kind of a scorer. He's shooting it pretty well. He's a good athlete. He's getting healthy. I think Kamani Lawrence, you know, Xavier's really in there. You know, USC that is there. I'm sure Providence is going to make a push. So, you know, Kamani Lawrence is a kid. And then, you know, I expect Xavier to try to pick things back up with Jaren Jackson from Park Tudor in Indianapolis. How successful is that one going to be? We'll find out. But I think Xavier's going to make their swing on that one.
Yeah, Kamani Lawrence is from Rhode Island, allegedly, but I think he goes to school in Massachusetts. So there we go. But like you said, Northeast. I thought this weekend, Kamani Lawrence, the thing that impressed me is he can really pass the ball. He has a nice touch, shoots it pretty well, and he can really rebound. And then just on the offensive end, they were playing him at the high post against a zone. And he got the ball and was able to put it on the deck comfortably. But he really saw the floor and found his teammates, found him in positions to score, made good, accurate passes. He was fun to watch with his feel for the game. And I completely get why they like him, because he just looks like a guy that would fit in well rebounding and defensively. He could definitely hedge screens and stuff if you put him at the four. But then he can really play offensively too, which the staff is pretty high on skilled guys. Any other thoughts on these forwards here, Brian?
You know, you got the two, Jamal Kane and Jared Ritter. Kane, he was up and down this weekend. He's been to Xavier. Xavier likes him. It's just kind of, what is he? You know, can he play the three? Is he definitely a four? Will he make shots at a high level? That one's going to be interesting. I'm going to see him again this weekend. I'm interested to see that. And then a kid, Jared Ritter, out of Missouri, he can really, really shoot the ball. But that's pretty much what he does. So I think it's going to come down to, you know, if Xavier feels they're getting some of these positionless athletic guys like a Najee Marshall, a Nogel Eastern, a Paul Scruggs, if you put them with a guy like Ritter who can shoot the heck out of it, that's a pretty good match. So I think part of where they stand with Ritter will have to do with who else they get.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on Ritter. I watched him this weekend. He can definitely shoot it, but I did not see him do anything else at all. Kane – I watched him two times that Mac watched him this week, and I don't know if Mac watched him anymore, but he was definitely there the two times that I saw him. And neither game he played he did nothing in the first game. He was in foul trouble most of the time and literally, I think, made one shot. And in the second game, he didn't do much of the first half, but really got it going a little in the second half, showed off some of his skill offensively, made a couple shots, and he's a decent athlete as well. I wouldn't say he's a great athlete, but yeah, he's just kind of in between there. He's really thin, and I saw him on his visit, but I didn't realize, you know, in a hoodie, how thin he was until I saw him on court in a jersey and compression shirt. That worries me a little bit. He doesn't really rebound at all. I think part of that is because he's thin and struggles to get in there and mix it up. Obviously, I think a lot of people's response to that would be, well, college weight program will easily bulk him up. And I agree with that. But it's just something that is a little bit of a concern for me.
Did you just teleport back to 1985 when colleges didn't lift weights?
Well, I mean, that's fine. But, like, we always talk about rebounding as a skill that translates at all levels. And I just don't – like, I don't think he does that. And just because you get a little bit stronger, I don't know that, okay, now you're a good rebounder. You know what I mean? So
the concern is he doesn't rebound, not that he's not strong.
Well, but I that he's not real tough. Like, I don't think that he's not tough, but I just think – Is it the problem that he's skinny, or is the problem that those things just aren't natural for him? You know what I mean? And that's what you kind of have to figure out.
Yeah.
So it's a concern. It's not like red flag, there's no chance I would take him because of that. It's just something to look at and might put him behind some of the other guys that are a little bit more sure things. Let's go to the post guys. Not a lot here right now, and maybe this is just a sign of the times, but also I think the fact is when you look at what Xavier's needed, they really haven't been recruiting for the post at all until very recently. So there's only a few real targets that they've been on for a while, so I think we'll continue to see a few more post player names pop up as the summer goes on. But Snow, who would you say is their top guys in the post right now?
You know, obviously they want Ike Obiagu, the 5-star shot blocker who visited for Midnight Madness. That's probably a really long shot. But, you know, they're staying in it. Derek Culver, a kid from Warren Harding, you know, they've got a connection with Rashid Gaston. They're going to stay involved with him. But West Virginia is probably the team to beat there. And then a kid that they offered, Jericho Sims. He's long. He's athletic. Don't know how good he is, but he's long and athletic. But he's a legacy at Minnesota. Minnesota's offer, that one could be tough. You know, they like Nate Watson. I don't think they can get Nate Watson. So there's not a lot there that's like, hey, you point to like, hey, Xavier's got a pretty good spot with him. Educa Obina's a kid they visited. They haven't offered. I don't know how much they've seen him. That one might have to wait till July. And then another kid who's coming on is Brandon Huffman from Team Loaded North Carolina. Mike Pegues watched him. He's kind of got that size and athleticism that they want. But, you know, that's at the very, very beginning stages. Who knows if they'll ever become a serious factor there. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I think they'd like to add one true big, a 6'10 long dude. They just have to find one that they like, that they've got a chance with. So that's more the developing part of their recruiting board at the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, I haven't seen Jericho Sims yet, but from everything I've heard, it sounds like he is their top guy right now in the post. That is a legitimate possibility. And like you said, just a freak athlete who has the legitimate size. It sounds intriguing. I just don't know a whole lot about him yet, so it'll be interesting to see where that leads. Snow, I just overall thoughts after kind of this weekend, the second evaluation period. You were obviously out the first one as well. Are there any overall thoughts for you about the shape of this class or the guys that they're recruiting?
You know, I think they're kind of just going with the let's screw it method and get the best players we can get and we'll figure it out. That seems to be kind of the approach they're taking, is like, who cares what box these guys fit into? Let's just take the best players we can get. You know, we wanted more shooting. We might not be able to get that exactly with what we want. So let's take guys that can really guard, defend, and can play multiple positions, attack the rim, and go from there. So that's they know it's going to be a big class. I don't think they're limiting anything right now. I think heck they could be working on a 5-man, maybe even a 6-man class if the right guys are coming. So that's one thing to look for, is I think the staff knows this is going to be a really important class for them, because, you know, Edmund could leave, Trayvon could leave. You could have a lot of openings after next season.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I just noticed about this year's group of guys, and granted, it, you know, it didn't include Adidas, although I don't see a whole lot of Adidas names on the list that we just talked of guys we just talked about. Saw a lot of them this weekend, and the thing that really stuck out to me about the Xavier targets on the board right now is one, I liked most of them, which is rare. A lot of times you go out, you see a kid in a weekend, and you're like, yeah, I don't know about that one. Didn't see a whole lot of that this weekend. All these guys looked pretty darn good, even the ones that they're in a really good position with. And two, I think a lot of these guys play really hard, which was interesting to me. I don't know if that's something that they're – obviously, it's something you always want in your players. I don't know if it's a conscious decision of we need more of that right now or not, but it just seems like they have some really hard-playing dudes on the radar right now that are kind of priority targets. So always a good thing when you get guys that have a high motor. Anything else before we sign off here?
I think we should probably address the 2016 situation. I don't know where Torian Thompson's going to school, but based on what I'm told, it ain't going to be Xavier. So I think you can finally, officially, totally 100 cross that one off the list. But with his mother, anything's possible. Also, as of this minute, seems like Sean O'Mara's coming, is staying, but that's not written in stone either.
Yes, and that's – I kind of wrote that on the board that, like, honestly, right now I just have no idea. I have no feel. Seems like it could still go either way. As I said on the board, I talked to one person last night, and they said, I think he's coming back. Talked to another person, and they said, I could see him leaving as soon as tomorrow. So It seems like it's still up in the air, although the longer this thing drags out, I'll be honest, it seemed like as of Friday night – this was going to be over by Sunday, and he was likely leaving. So the fact that we're into Monday now, into Tuesday evening now, and it hasn't happened is probably a good thing if you're hoping Sean O'Mara stays. And by the way, I don't think adding a guy right now to replace Sean O'Mara in the post, unless it's a fifth-year guy, is really going to help. I don't know, they already have two freshmen in place that we both, I think are pretty good. So I don't know that they're going to be able, even if it was Torian Thompson, I don't think he was more ready than Eddie Ekior or Tyreek Jones to provide minutes.
Less ready, to be honest.
Yeah, he's more of a project to me. So I don't think that was the guy they needed to get to fill if Sean were to leave. Do you have any thoughts on that of do they have to find something to replace Sean right now?
The issue would be going into a season with 9 healthy bodies is not very good. And I'm never a fan of taking a body to take a body, but you want more than 9 of them. So that would be a problem.
Right. But I guess I don't think they're going to necessarily find a post player.
No, I don't think they find it to be a problem. I'll be perfectly honest.
Right.
I don't think they care. I'm just looking at it saying 9. Woo. That takes away any and all margin for error.
Right. And I think the problem with it is, okay, so, yeah, we need a guy, but end of the day, the margin for error is still gone because you're probably not getting a guy that's really good enough to make you a good team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're probably not finding someone who's ready to help you right now at this point, almost regardless. A fifth-year guy might look at that what Xavier's going to do next year and say, that'd be fun to be a part of, but then he's going to look at the minutes available and realize that he's the 10th guy, and that's just not going to be a desirable option for many fifth-year transfers, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting part about the fifth-year transfer is you have to be really careful with it because it can go horribly, horribly wrong and quickly.
Right, because that guy's a mercenary. There's no attachment here to what you guys have built. They come in and they can wreck a locker room pretty quickly if things don't go their way. So I'd say that's probably a good place to finish this one off. Snow, appreciate your expertise as always, and you definitely lived up to the reputation of the legend. I will say we were in the Cheesecake Factory Friday night. You could have held an NCAA coaches convention in there, and it was I thought I was sitting with a celebrity. It was every big-name coaching staff comes in, stops by our table to talk to Snow. Unbelievable. You guys would have thoroughly enjoyed it on the message board. So I think that does it. Thanks for listening.